Bulldog Nation, you are now going to witness, watch, and listen to the best podcast in the league. Get set for a wild ride with From the Hill Podcast, featuring Wayne Cartwright, Damian Green, Tenarius Gooden, David Thomas, Jennifer Murray, and Corey Williams. Don't miss out. Subscribe now to From the Hill Podcast. It's time to turn up the excitement and make some noise.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
What's hey. Up? What's good?
Oh, man. I was sitting up there like, all right, now I said, let's see if everybody, where everybody at? I said, do I need to do a redo? Everybody kind of was like, you know. What's up, Dave? You good?
Yeah, man. Y'all know I always got technical difficulties before I get started, so...
technical difficulties, also known as his laptop be dead.
Leave him alone. Hey, always count on Dave to get the mood light.
But I'm here.
Hey, man. T, where you at, man?
Man, I tell you where I'm at. I am in Montgomery, Alabama, for work. I've been here since yesterday, and this is the worst air I ever breathe because Alabama State is around the corner. I can't wait until I leave tomorrow because I can't breathe. My allergies are messing up. And none of this happened until I got on 85 North and I saw Exit 1, Alabama State University. I can't wait to get back. No disrespect to my brother Corey, who is from Montgomery, but he knows better. That's why he don't live here no more. You know, the good air is in Huntsville. But I'm good, though.
Hey, get off the hometown. You can stay on Alabama State, but get off the hometown.
It's only because Alabama State is right around the corner.
Okay, all right. Hey, y'all know my second name for Montgomery, man, is the Folding Chair City.
Much respect to them for that, though.
I don't think I'm gonna ever let that one go. Every year, the Folding Chair City.
You can't.
But hey, first off, everybody, make sure you hit the like button tonight. Everybody, make sure you subscribe if you are just joining us for the very first time. If that is so, welcome. And also across the bottom of the screen, we got all of our updated sports schedules in the fall here. So you've got soccer, you got football, you got women's volleyball, you got cross country. So you got a lot of good stuff going on. Hey, man, it's me, Brand, already set the tone for where I was going. He said, it feels good after that, after we won on Saturday.
Volleyball is playing right now, and I believe last time I checked the score, they were up. So hopefully they can continue that.
Yeah, I would say I slept like a baby Saturday night after beating Alcorn. And being able to send my boy.
A long time since we did that, man.
Yeah.
See, and being able. We hadn't beat Alcorn since Obama was president.
It felt real.
Listen,
good.
That's the truth, though. That's the crazy part. That's the truth.
Hey, it felt amazing to see my boy.
My feet were hurting, but I did walk in to work with my chest pumped out.
Walking like this.
Yeah.
The champs.
Right. Hey, I was able to tell my boy G.A. George Anthony. I said, hey, let me introduce you to a friend that I know very well. His first name is Owen and his last name is Two. Let me introduce you to Owen Two. We've been quite acquainted with Mr. Owen Two many seasons here. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to spend any time with Owen 2 this year because we are affiliated with Mr. First Name 1, Last Name 1. So, yeah, man, great stuff. Great crowd, great light show.
That light show was dope.
And it was also awesome to see it on HBCU Go. I got to say, shout out to HBCU Go because they really do a great job with their production. the camera, also the commentary. It's just really, really good. They've invested a lot into it. So keep up the good work, man, because, yeah, we already know where we've been and where we come from with some of our broadcasts, because y'all remember them days when it was like a couple of cameras and maybe one microphone. So so we here, man. We here. We here. And so with all this, let's get into the housekeeping tonight. So basketball season is coming, which is amazing to think that we're now thinking about basketball season coming. But we have the tip-off social with our soon-to-be first-year, upcoming first-year head coach, Dante Jackson, and also now you're going to be second-year head coach, Don Thornton. This is taking place on the 19th, so it'll be from the hours of 5 to 7:30 at the Knight Center right there, the meet and greet, all of these different things in this tip-off social. So you'll get a chance to hear some things about the upcoming basketball season, hear something about the players, the plans for the program, et cetera, et cetera. So make sure if you are in the Huntsville area on the 19th, you can get in there and be part of it. That's going down on a Friday evening. All right. Then we've got some really cool things to share about our women's soccer team. So shout out to Miss Dean here, who is the SWAC Offensive Player of the Week. And then we've got Miss Daniela Mariquin, who was the Defensive Player of the Week. So you got the offensive and the defensive players of the week. Nice. But as they say in game shows, but wait, there's more. We've also got the goalkeeper of the week, Miss Madeline Cornell. So she was the goalkeeper of the week. And then last but not least, we got the SWAC newcomer of the week in Renee Miller. So the Lady Bulldogs soccer team had a fabulous week last week. And we would love nothing more than them to continue to keep it rolling. So congrats to these four ladies on a job well done.
That's we got to keep that train rolling. Yes. This week, too, we got to keep that train rolling.
Listen.
Yep. And also, Dave, you spoke about this last week, and we've actually made a 17% increase from when we showed you this same banner last week. So yeah, we are now 53% of the goal, with still plenty of time for everybody to make sure that they're involved in giving. So everybody, don't stop your momentum. Just continue to give towards the 150th anniversary campaign.
Hey, and it will be we'll be cheating ourselves and everybody else if we forgot to mention the SWAC Offensive Player of the Week, Mr. Quad Brown. He finished with 260 yards passing, 69 yards rushing, and 5 total touchdowns. Not only did he get SWAC Conference of the Player of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week, he also got the HBCU National Player of the Week. That's by Stats Perform. So can't forget CB4. You know, CB4 did his thing. That week is over with, though. I know the coaches will say this. Time to move on to Tennessee State now. Tennessee State week. Congrats to him, though, for achieving those awards and leading us to victory on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Most definitely.
Absolutely.
Listen, it's so fun to watch, and I forgot to take a picture of the last touchdown. Like, I was usually I'm focused and locked in, but one of the touchdowns was so impressive. I was just like, I just had the camera. Didn't even press snap. I was impressed. Great job.
Yeah, I was so happy to talk about that game on Sunday night. And I was so happy to just think about just, you know, where we've come from in such a short time, and just looking forward to keeping it rolling, man. We're going to get into Nashville. We'll get a chance to talk about that game a little bit later. But first, staying with the Nashville theme, this is one of my really good classmates from the time that I was on the Hill, Corey, same time. Me and her husband, we grew up, spent time together growing up. This is her second time on the show, and it gives us great pleasure to welcome Alisa Jones back to the show. Welcome.
Hey, hey, hey. What's good, Bulldog family?
Welcome. Hey, what's going on? What's
going on?
Love the glasses.
Thank you.
So, sis, we know that this is Tennessee State game week, and it's kind of really crazy that we have not played Tennessee State in football since 2010.
It is crazy. It is. It's something that we have been asking for a very, very, very long time. And I know we're super excited to bring the Bulldogs back up here and show those little Tigers what we're working with.
We love it, man. We love it. The little Tigers. But yeah, 2010 was the last time we played those guys. And so you guys up there in Nashville, you guys do so many different things, and you guys have your chapter. First, just for people who don't know, talk about the chapter up there, and then we'll you know, we got something to show the folks about what you guys got events wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks again for having me on to represent the Metro Nashville Alumni Chapter. We call ourselves Small But Mighty. We were rechartered in 2017, and we have literally done all the things from community service to issuing scholarships to, you know, our signature events, which is our freshman send-off. As well as, you know, we bring a bus down for high school senior day as well. And so I have a stellar executive board that assists in us pulling off these programs for the year. And so we're excited to have the Nashville painted maroon and white.
Awesome. Dave?
Yeah. So as if everybody know, you know, I'm a part of the Charlotte Alumni Chapter. And one thing that I enjoy is seeing all the different events and just the social media presence of all our alumni chapters within the Alumni Association. And going back to you guys' send-off, I want you to talk a little bit about that, because a lot of us do have send-offs, but you guys had a very nice showing of students at your send-off, which you guys probably attributed to that 2,157 record freshman class that we have this year. So you could talk about you guys' send-off, and then go a little bit further into the impact of that connection that the alumni chapters makes with the not just the incoming students, but the returning students as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, our freshman send-off event is one of our signature events. We connect with the admissions office, of course, to determine which individuals are in our covered counties. So we cover Nashville, Davidson County, and the surrounding counties. And so we had probably, 80 to 90 individuals that we invited just to our event. And so we had about half of those show up. And so, and this isn't including Memphis and Chattanooga and Knoxville area. This is just Middle Tennessee. And so we had about 40 students to come and hang out with us. We rent out a pavilion in one of the local parks. They get to fellowship with one another. The parents get to ask questions. This year we had an ice cream truck pull up. We went kind of old school and had the nostalgic ice cream, you know, the bomb pops and such. Where they can just, you know, old school ice cream social. And so it was a fantastic event. And we also issue a scholarship for $1,875 nice. To a recipient as well that's here local. And so it's a stellar event, and it wouldn't be able to have the success that it's had without, you know, everybody involved with the chapter. So.
I love it. I love it.
It's nice. So as a resident of Nashville, you know, you don't live in Huntsville, so of course you always have to travel to A&M. How does it feel to have A&M come to your city, and what does that mean as far as how do you plan to turn it into a recruitment effort?
I tell you, it's we get the best of both worlds because we're just, you know, short, just shy of 2 hours up the road. You know, you can make it a day trip. And it feels really good to have individuals. I've reached out and had contact with the Birmingham chapter president. I know Atlanta and Montgomery. I know there are several charter buses that will be coming up 65 to take part in the day's festivities. And so it feels really, really good after all these years to have the game back here as a legacy series. And I know they'll rotate, you know, back and forth for 4 years. But I do know also as a TSU alum for my master's, that they are excited to have us as well. And so a lot of my friends that are alum from Tennessee State, the energy is in the city. There's no question about it. We're hosting a few activities that that I'll share with you guys, but the energy is here. Everybody's excited. And so we just need to play our part on the field and off.
Awesome. I just got to shout out my chapter, Greater Shelby County. Woo, woo, woo. Okay.
Well, me and Lisa, we go back all the way back. And for everyone who doesn't know, we are both from Montgomery, Alabama. We chose to leave that other school to go to the best school in the state of Alabama.
That's why I laughed when Tenarius was talking about Montgomery. I was like, look. Like, yeah, Corey and I go way back to like high school, middle school. So yeah.
Yes. Yes. And Lisa, from your experience, you know, you have been a leader ever since you've matriculated from Alabama A&M, being on the SGA as well as myself. And now you are a leader with the Nashville alumni chapter as far as being president of that chapter. What are some of the your wish list or 10 years down the road? Where do you want that chapter to go? Your vision for that chapter?
Man, I love this question because this is something that we talk about a lot, you know, kind of doing that planning going forward. What does that look like? To me, it looks like, you know, we're a small chapter, but when I think of, you know, some of the larger chapters that are able to give $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 back to the university, that's what I envision. And in all honesty, you know, even in talking with Dr. Wims, when he's been up here to host us before, there's no reason it can't happen here. We have a large segment of alumni. So I'm calling out each and every one of you guys that are here in the Nashville area. If you're not tapped into the Metro Nashville chapter, you're missing out. Okay. And so when we talk about vision and planning going forward, that's something that I see is us showing up in a giving capacity so that we can help our university become self-sufficient. You know, we talk about the old heads versus the young heads and all that. It takes dollars, but it also takes bodies to facilitate these different initiatives that we have. And so I would hope that in the next 10 years that we have a membership that's well over 100 individuals easy, and that we're also one of the premier giving chapters to the university.
And I would like to sincerely apologize for talking about the city of Montgomery to you. I was only being disrespectful to Alabama State University. Please forgive me.
I understand. And I did attend State for a summer before I came to the Hill. And so you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong with anything that you said.
Madam President has confirmed it.
Right. Okay, I wasn't all the way out of bounds then. Not all the way. All right, Madam President, let's talk about those events you got coming up. I know Friday, this may be a little hard to see for some of you folks, but I'll try to read it. Ms. Jones could kind of expound on Friday, September 12th. You got the Mix and Connect at the GOAT Germantown. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so the Mix and Connect will kind of be when you get off work, you're not ready to go home just yet, ready to continue into the weekend. We will be there starting at 5:00. The GOAT has already put aside a space for us to hang out and connect. So if there are any Bulldogs, I know my best friend will be in town, so we will be in the place. But yes, we will meet at the GOAT in Germantown, which is adjacent to downtown, essentially. We'll meet there for, you know, drinks and fellowship, getting ready for the big game on Saturday.
Okay, Saturday, September 18th, looks like we got a pregame affair at the Germantown Pub. What's going on?
13th.
What time does that start?
So we'll be pulling up at Germantown Pub at 11. The good thing about this is, one of the good things is Germantown Pub is a Black-owned business here in Nashville, again, adjacent to downtown. And so one of the things that we take pride in as a chapter is partnerships with different, whether it's different venues, establishments, business owners. And so they have agreed to provide us with 10% of the proceeds from our bill during that time frame, 11 to 2. And so, again, calling all the local Bulldogs, come and show up. And with that 10%, it'll come directly back to our chapter.
Now, that same day, and we should be celebrating victory around this time. You look like you got an event going on, Views and Vibes at the Oasis Rooftop. What's going on with that one?
Yeah, so for those that are feeling a little frisky and want to walk downtown, you know, we have a rooftop situation that will be going on immediately following the game. It is a casual event, come as you are, straight from the game, but we'll be at the rooftop at Oasis, which the bar is called Friends in Low Places, but it'll be their rooftop bar that will be starting at 7.
Nice. Now, last but not least, for me anyway, kind of give up, you know, nationally, from the national chapter and local chapter, it's kind of not easy to get people to be involved with alumni chapter. So just give us some words of encouragement of how you are always excited about the alumni chapter and encouraging people to also be to get involved in their chapter.
Absolutely. It's not an easy thing. One of the things I talk about is, you know, we're in different seasons of life, right? You know, when you get out of college, you know, you're looking for your job, looking to get settled in. One of the things that we look at is connecting with our younger alum that are in the city, because it seems as though they really want to connect. You know, in our chapter, we have CPAs, we have VPs, we have directors of finance, we have some big name folks in our chapter. And so one of the things that attorneys, doctors, all those things. And one of the things that we look at is how can we help one another? So as we're older, you know, my kids are older, headed into college within the next couple of years, and those that are just coming along, to be a resource for them. And so we found that being a resource and being available to those that are still trying to get their footing up under them is a huge asset. And so trying to bridge those, the younger as well as the older alum together, that's been how we've had most of our success.
It's pretty dope. And I've just been so happy with the success that you guys have had up there in Nashville, and also just the great vibes that you have provided just as a Bulldog alum and an ambassador. And looking forward to seeing you at homecoming.
Yes.
It's been a minute for me, but just know, you know, you've had a hug in reserve for a while. So, you know.
Yes.
We'll cash that in down there in October. And also to your great husband, Nick, who also is another Bulldog himself. This is great stuff. So Nashville, y'all heard the lady. Come on out and support. And even if you're in Huntsville and you just feel like, hey, I just want to just jump on the road, come on up. They got room for you. They'll make room for you.
Plenty.
Come on up.
Plenty because of room. Y'all know back in undergrad how we used to hit the road to them parties and not coming back to the campus until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So
hey.
Understand that we're not at that age anymore, but
we can still hit
that road for about a 2 hours and come right back.
Listen, I used to tear opera meals up.
Hey, David, we got hotel points. Now we just stay the night. We ain't got to drive.
Exactly, so. Exactly.
Yeah, we got some hotel points.
Hey, Lord Jesus.
I crashed at your house for like 5 minutes.
Lord Jesus, y'all brought up a memory, man. Shoot, boy, we went to Atlanta for one. We went to Atlanta just to go to the club and exactly. Drove back. Got back at like 3 a.m.
Hey Wayne.
Before go ahead, man.
Before you let Lisa go, I want her to say something. I see a lot of our Operation Jumpstart Fall 96 people in there. So just
that's right.
Yeah, so Lisa, just say a little thing for our Operation Jumpstart.
I don't know what year they officially stopped Operation Jumpstart, but let me speak to my incoming class of 96. You know, everybody talk about, you know, the classes that graduate out. That's fantastic. But when I tell you our incoming class of 96 had 2 weeks on that campus before anybody else really got there, and when I tell you to this day, almost 30 years later, we are as tight as glue. And so
we sure are.
Shout out to that incoming class, OJS 96. We're supposed to be planning another reunion coming up soon. We have a reunion like it's a class reunion, but it's the incoming class.
Yes.
So I don't know. Again, we might need to fact check when the last OJS happened. But all I know is 96 is where it's at. So shout out to the OJS 96.
Hey, in 2016, that was the first time I've been back in probably like 15 years, and we gathered for the 20th edition.
That's
in
right.
2016 during homecoming. Man, right. When I tell you, that was a weekend of all weekends.
Yes. And we've lost some amazing Bulldogs in this 20-year time frame, and I just appreciate each and every one of you guys that continue to support that incoming class. I don't know what God has for us, but I tell you, I love each and every one of you guys because we hold each other down.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just gotta say, for y'all to be out of school for 30 years, y'all all look good.
Hey,
look, I tell people I ain't gonna say it, but I'm almost 50, so yeah.
That's what I tell folks too. I'm like, hey, I'm closer to 50 than I am 40. But you know, hey. But yeah, sis, much love as always. Much appreciation as always. Best of love this weekend up there in Nashville. Y'all heard the lady. Get up there.
That's
be
right.
Involved.
We're going to send a W back.
There yep. We go.
Absolutely. All right. So we'll see you next time, sis.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, with that note, we'll take a brief pause because we got something to show you real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Stand out. Show pride. Represent your legacy. The King McNeil Collection brings you premium college gear and Divine Nine paraphernalia made with style, quality, and culture in mind. Whether you're repping your alma mater or honoring your fraternity or sorority, KingMcNeil.com has what you need to wear it bold. Shop the collection today and let your look tell your story. Visit KingMcNeil.com, where tradition meets fashion. Use discount code FTH15 to receive 15% off.
See?
Shout out to King McNeil, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Grab y'all some of that merch.
Listen, it's quality. It's high quality, so... Get on that.
Hey, I can't wait to rock my wintertime King McNeil.
I'm waiting for this weather to drop.
I was mad Saturday because it was cool. I said, man, I could have had on my cardigan out here.
Listen,
wait on it.
I'm trying to hold out for classic for my sweater. Listen, I need classic to just be a little cool, a little crisp, so I can wear my King McNeil.
Since it was an all white out, I had on my King McNeil at the game. I think it was a good look charm.
Right.
Hey, what Roddy Rich say high fashion.
So where to get this weekend, Corey?
Okay. High fashion. That's the stuff, though. Y'all pick up that gear, man. All right. Now we get to keep it rolling. Now we get to talk. We stand in the football theme in the frame of mind playing against Tennessee State. This gentleman is our quarterback coach. And if you saw our quarterback's performance this Saturday, you know this gentleman is doing a fabulous job. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kenton Evans. Welcome, sir.
What's up, man? Glad to be on.
How you
What's
doing,
up, coach?
Sir?
All right, can everybody see me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, we got you. Right. We got you. Okay, I'm going to jump right to it, all right?
Sure.
Quad Brown and his development under your tutelage. Go for it.
All right, when I first got this job, the first thing I did with Quad, I sat him down and I had a chance to just kind of look at some of the things he did in the past. And one thing that I looked at was just, you know, his interceptions from last season. And then I even went back to look at some of his stuff from Georgia State. And from what I saw, we wanted to eliminate those mistakes. And those mistakes came from, you know, just him not having his feet set, you know, just trying to kind of being wild in the pocket and stuff like that. So that's been kind of one of the things I just wanted to kind of hone in on with him, but just, you know, having, you know, good feet, you know, staying poised in the pocket and letting the guys around you make plays. So, and for the past 2 weeks, I think he's done a great job with that. Being a facilitator, a distributing, playing point guard, basically at the quarterback position. The first game we had 10 guys with catches, with at least one catch. And then this past week we had 8 guys with at least one catch. So I'm definitely proud of his growth in this short time frame that I've been able to coach him. He's been real receptive of my coaching and it's starting to show on the football field.
Nice, Coach Evans. I just want to jump to you being an alum of the great Tennessee State University. You know, you played ball there, blood, sweat, and tears. Mm-hmm. How is it going back there I'm not sure if you played at Nissan Stadium. I think it was called LP Field at one time. Yeah, but how exactly. is it going back to Nashville coaching against your alma mater?
Yeah. It's been kind of crazy for the past 2 weeks, to be honest, as this game has gotten closer to us playing it. I hadn't talked to many of my friends. I mean, I've gotten a lot of text messages, but I've kind of been ignoring them because they've been talking all kind of trash. But I think it's going to be exciting for me to go back there and to be able to have an opportunity to coach in that environment. If it was it was LP Field when I played at Tennessee State in 99 and 2000. But I'm looking forward to this opportunity, man. It's just, I think it's going to be great. I got a lot of friends, a lot of family that's going to be there, old teammates, old coaches. A lot of people from my past at Tennessee State are going to be there. So I'm looking forward to having an opportunity to go in there and getting the win and coming back home victorious.
Yes, sir.
Nice, nice. So, Coach Evans.
Yes, ma'am.
I noticed that you are so active on social media.
Yes.
You engage the fans. Yes. You're just really active. Tell us how does that interaction with the A&M fan base? How does that help you get ready for the game?
So I'll say the one thing when I first met Coach Shea last year at Miles, I told him I just wanted to be a quality ambassador, you know, for the program, and I think that says a lot, you know, about who we are as coaches. When we can interact with people, with our fans, and people that are inquisitive, that's inquiring about, you know, who we are, you know, what we do from the football standpoint. It's never been anything negative that I've been associated with. I've always had an opportunity to just kind of, you know, give people an opportunity to look into my life on the social media side. And it's been pretty good, man, just having those talks with people that's not affiliated with us. I think it's been pretty good, man, for our program to be able to give people an inside look as to who we are as coaches.
All right, Coach. On the game planning, you know, during the game, you know, I see you on the sidelines, but then I see our OC, Coach Alexander, and also our offensive assistant Jason Mai, mm-hmm. and also we got great running back and wide receiver coach. Just tell me, how does from you being on the sideline and having the OC up top? Just mm-hmm. tell me how as far as calling plays, how much involved are you? As well as that, take me through that process.
Well, we all have great communication. And the great thing about our staff, Coach DA is our offensive coordinator. Coach Fox has been offensive coordinator before on the college level. I've been offensive coordinator on the college level before too. Coach Meyer has been offensive coordinator on the college level. So we all have great communication. When things are, we all have different, you know, viewpoints of how things are and how things should go. And Coach DA is very receptive to our ideas. I mean, we spend a lot of hours during the week working on our game plan. And we just always just try to formulate our ideas together. And it works. And it's worked really, really well for us. You know, there's no bickering, no arguing about anything. Whatever ideas that we may present, if we don't run it, you know, it is what it is. I mean, Coach DA has a as an idea, always has great ideas about what he wants to run offensively. But we just try to chime in with our, you know, expertise, just giving, you know, certain tidbits on what we think, you know, might work in certain situations. But it's been great for us, man. And I hope we can continue that through the rest of the season.
Awesome.
I hope y'all can too, because Saturday that offense was rolling like definitely a well-oiled machine. But I want to ask you about this being, you know, the home opener, your first A&M home game. On our show, interviews Coach Shea has done, we have pounded probably into Bulldog Nation's head to come out and support, you know, the players at this game. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, your experience with this game. If you got any feedback from the players, did Bulldog Nation show up the way they were supposed to?
Yeah, Bulldog Nation showed up and they showed out too. That's the one thing that I will say, man. Our guys, man, they really fed off the energy that that everybody brought to the game. It was fun. It was such a fun, you know, atmosphere. I mean, the light show going into the fourth quarter was, I was blown away by it. I mean, I think we all were, just to see it. And the kids just fed off of that, man. And you know, we weren't looking in the stands. We didn't find any of our guys looking in the stands, anything like that. But they just felt the energy from the crowd. And it was just a great atmosphere overall. And something that, you know, we look forward to for the rest of the season. You know, coming home and having those guys at every home game, I think it'll be even better as we continue to win. We want to bring more people out and have them to, you know, continue to cheer us on and bring more victories to the hill.
Absolutely.
It was amazing, though. I loved it, though. I mean – I hadn't seen anything like it on this level, on our level. I mean, I've been to a lot of different college places, but it was by far one of the best I've seen.
I was watching on HBCU Go, and I felt it through the TV. I'm like, I mean, man,
it was
crazy. And right, you know, people got well, not say people, but the students, they have TikToks, you know, bragging about how the game day experience was. And so, definitely to your point, you know, if Bulldog Nation continues to, you know, show out and support the players, then you guys will definitely get more wins out of that.
Yes, sir.
Now, Coach Evans, you've been the quarterback coach at Arkansas Pine Bluff, which is in the SWAC. Mm-hmm. You've also been the quarterback coach on the championship level with Miles last year. Now you're here at Alabama A&M. So how do you take this previous SWAC experience and the previous experience from winning that championship to kind of mold the coaching of how you coach the quarterback room, not just quarterback, because I know there's more than him in the quarterback room. And in addition to that, how is that quarterback room? How are those guys communicating and helping each other out?
Well, you know, I'm grateful to, you know, have played the quarterback position. I started when I was 7 years old, 6 or 7 years old, and I retired at 31. I had played quarterback for a long time and have an opportunity to coach at Arkansas Pine Bluff as a quarterback's coach there, then to leave there to go to be the offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach at Mississippi Valley, and then to, you know, to go to Miles last year and be the quarterback's coach there at Miles. It has helped me tremendously in my development as a coach. And I've been able to get ideas from those places, get ideas from those coaches to be able to help me, you know, as I've, you know, gotten older in coaching. And that's the one thing that I try to, you know, use with our guys at the quarterback spot. The one thing I don't want them to try to be is heroes. You don't have to be a hero every day or every play, I would say. You got guys around you that can make plays, and which is evident with 8, you know, to 9 or 10 guys catching at least one pass the past 2 games. We don't have to be heroes at the quarterback spot. I mean, I don't want you to be a game manager either. That's not what we're here for. We're here to win football games as a quarterback, so we don't want to be game managers. We want to win football games too at the quarterback spot. But I just want, you know, those guys to understand that, you know, what they're here for, to get other guys involved and let those guys make plays for them. And as far as our quarterback room goes, I think it's probably the best I've seen from my years of coaching. All of those guys are friends. When they go work out, they work out together. They eat lunch together. They hang out with each other, which is something that you rarely see when you got guys that are competing against each other. It's a friendly competition, but they always busting it. They're all busting their tails from Quad to our last guy, which is Xavier Wright, who's a walk-on kid. I mean, he comes to practice every day, knowing that he may not even get an opportunity to get a snap or even dress. He hadn't dressed the past 2 games. But he comes to work every day with a great attitude. He works just as hard as those guys do. They help those guys, help the guys around him get better. And you can appreciate, you know, guys like that. You know, and I say that too. Even when Quad comes off the field after a series, Eric Henley, who's our backup guy, he's the first one to go grab the iPad. He gets to the iPad before I do, and he's trying to show Quad some of the things that we need to look for, you know, from the secondary or stuff like that. I mean, there's even a picture with him, them two sitting together. I'm just standing over him, looking over the iPad, just showing them stuff, you know, defensively, what the defense is doing and how we can start taking advantage of what teams are doing differently. But, I mean, I love those guys. They love each other. They work well with each other. And it's no bickering. It's no backbiting. They're all working together to be productive and help us be good as a quarterback room.
Coach Evans, as a quarterback yourself, what quarterback did you idolize when you were a kid growing up?
Me growing up, Warren Moon was my guy. And Charlie Ward was my guy, too, on the college level. Andre Ware, Dan Marino, Randall Cunningham, Doug Williams. I had a chance to meet Doug Williams. I actually had a chance to meet Charlie Ward, too. So I have a picture with both of those guys. But Warren Moon was my guy. My high school colors were red, white, and baby blue. And I used to tell myself I was a high school Warren Moon because we ran a similar offense to what they ran with the Houston Oilers. We were actually running shoot team when I played high school football. And then we threw it almost every play, which they did when he was with the Houston Oilers, too. And just having a chance to, you know, idolize him. And another guy that I idolized, too, was Vince Evans, who played quarterback with the Chicago
Raiders. The Raiders and the Bears.
Played with the Raiders and the Bears. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell people he was my uncle because my last name is Evans. You know, his name is Vince Evans. I used to always tell people that he was my uncle all the time. And he was one of the guys, too, that, you know, got kind of slept on a little bit at the quarterback spot. But he was a guy that I idolized, too. Rodney Pete was another one, too, that I looked up to as well. So, guys, it's my color that played, you know, the quarterback position and played it well. And I was fortunate when I transferred to Tennessee State. The first person I met was Joe Gilliam, Jr. He was the first.
Yeah,
he was one of the first people I met when I transferred to Tennessee State. And I'll never forget his advice when I first met him. You know, he told me to always be me no matter what. You know, and that was something that I took with me, and it stayed with me for a long time from just that initial conversation with him. Was just to always be me, and no matter what the circumstances, you know, that presents themselves, to always be me. And I thank him for that, and I've taken that advice, you know, with me to this day for sure.
Coach, when T. Gooden mentioned, you know, all your different stops that you've had as far as in your coaching career,
sir.
What are the best QBs? You know, I know it's hard to rank them, but you know, what are your best QBs that you feel that you've coached, and do you think Quad can attain, you know, up to that level?
Yes, sir. I would say the best quarterback that I've coached was actually a high school kid. His name was Jonquel Dawson. I coached him for 2 years at Martin Luther King High School in Atlanta. And the 2 years that I coached him, he threw for over 7,000 yards, and he threw 80 touchdowns in 2 years. That was from a kid who only threw, I think he threw maybe 1,300. No, he threw 456 yards the year before as a 10th grader. His very first game that I coached, we threw for 486 and 6 touchdowns. And the kid was, if he was playing in today's world of football, he would be an NFL kid. He was 5'8", kind of like Kyler Murray size. If he was playing high school ball this day and age, he would be a Power 5 kid. But at 2 years, 70,000 yards, 80 touchdowns, probably the best kid that I've ever coached. I used to yell at him a lot. And the reason why I yelled at him a lot was because he could take it. He could deal with it, basically. And he would just go out there and throw a touchdown and shut me up. But I really wasn't – most of my stuff wasn't really directed towards him. It was directed toward everybody else. But I went after him because he was the quarterback. And I also had another kid named Miles Gooch that I coached at Towers High School in Atlanta. I coached him his senior year at Towers. He threw for over 2,000 yards, but his junior year, he threw for maybe 140-some yards as a junior. But he passed for over 2,000 yards his senior year, signed with the University of Virginia, and played there for a few years before he tore his ACL. And he would have been an NFL guy if he hadn't torn his ACL or his senior year. But I look at Quad, you know, I think he can stack up with anybody that I've coached. And I coached some good ones. I mean, I've coached I had a kid that played for me at Brevard College named O'Shea Carter that played at Tennessee State before he transferred to Brevard. He was pretty good. Threw for over 2,000 yards at Brevard. He school record 499 yards in the game passing. But I think Quad, he stacks up there with a lot of those guys. I mean, he just has the it factor. And I told him that from the beginning. I feel like he has pro potential. And the one thing that I wanted him to do was just get out of his own way, you know, sometimes. I mean, and just some of the things that he would do, some of the things he would do to get himself in trouble, he hasn't done that yet. So I'm just wanting to try to keep him on that same path and understand that, I mean, it's okay to make mistakes, but we don't want to live in those. We don't want to live in those mistakes. So, you know, honestly, man, a great kid. He challenges me probably more than I challenge him. Like that whole quarterback room, I'll say this, they're smart guys. Very inquisitive. Every day I have to tell them to stop asking me questions because they always want to know. You know, kids just want to know why. Why are we doing it this way? Why we can't do it this way? Why are we doing it this way? And I love their, you know, challenging me as a quarterback's coach to, you know, make sure I'm on my toes every single day when I step in their room because I don't want to be the dumbest guy in the room. So I have to make sure that I'm on my P's and Q's when it comes to dealing with those guys. But honestly, I feel like all of them are going to be great. But you know, right now Quad is our starter, and he's doing a great job for us, leading us. And I want, you know, hopefully he can stay on the same trajectory and keep us and get us to our swag championship and ultimately the Celebration Bowl.
Mm-hmm. And sticking on Quad, Quad has been, I would say, a joy to watch. And yes. He's been on our show, you know, I think twice now. And, you know, he went to SWAC Media Day. He's, you know, he has so much, you know, confidence. He's articulate. And he just has this, you know, I don't know, just this all-around positive aura, you know, about himself. And so, you know, since you've been on the hill, if you could, you did it a little bit, you know, a couple of seconds ago. But if you could just talk more about Quad Cornelius, the person. Yes. And not the player, to give the listeners or the viewers a better understanding of who he is as a person outside of football and his second love of golf.
So with Quad has this certain aura, this certain charisma about him. I mean, you know, people are, you know, kind of drawn to him, you know, just automatically. The way he presents himself, you know, says a lot about who he is, says a lot about how he was raised. A great kid. And most of when I'm talking to him, it's not always about football. It's about life too. You know, I give him, you know, just certain life lessons and stuff like that because I play quarterback. I know what it's like to be, you know, under center. You're getting the finger pointed at you when you're doing bad, and you know you're getting a lot of praise when you're doing good and you don't deserve it. You get a lot of blame when you don't deserve it too. But ultimately, man, he's been a great ambassador for our school, and that's one thing that I love about him. I told him the other day, I said, you know, A&M is doing everything they can to make you the face of the program. They're doing everything they can to make you the face of this team. And I told him to embrace it, you know, and don't shy away from it. Embrace it, but don't be abrasive either, though. You know, embrace it, but don't be abrasive. Don't feel like you just, you know, you got to throw that in people's faces. You know, so you still want to be reserved and but still, you know, be charismatic too. But great kid overall. I always love speaking with him. I always love talking to him. Like I said, very intelligent guy, and he loves the game of football. He loves studying. That's the one thing I will say about him too. He works really, really hard. I mean, everything we do, the kid is just, he just wants to be good. And we, you know, we talk about golfing. That's something that I'm not good at. We talked about it when I first got the job. He wanted to take me to a golf range or we can go to do some the driving range and stuff like that to try to help me on my golf game. And that's something that he's pretty good at, too. I think we went to Top Golf one time, and I watched him, you know, hit the ball. I was like, I said, yeah. I put my clubs down. I said, I can't compete. I just pretty much just walked away at that point and told him, yeah, you can have at it, man. But great kid overall, man. Like I said, I take my hat off to his parents. You can just see that he was, you know, really, really respectable guy, really, really, really respectable kid. And I've had to get after him a few times, but – not to the point to where it's, you know, he hates me or anything like that. I'm just trying to be his coach and understand that's who I am. I'm your coach. You know, I'm not I can be your friend too, but first and foremost, I'm your coach. And
right.
He takes that, he receives that. If I have to raise my voice at him, he knows it's not personal. And if he says anything, I know it's not personal. That's just the type of relationship that we've been able to establish since I first got the job at A&M. So just looking to see him continue to grow. You know, not only on the football field, but in life as well, too, because he's definitely got a great future ahead of him, no matter what he does, because honestly, I feel like he can get on TV and be a sports commentator. He can do anything because of
most definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So he just, you know, draws people in with who he is, and a great kid, great person. Outside of football, I think he's going to be able to do whatever he wants to do in his life.
Well, Coach Evans, this has been a great time with you, man, and I'm really excited to see your work in action again. For the third game of the season coming up this Saturday up there in Nashville at your alma mater.
Yes, sir.
But you know it's Go Bulldogs. It's Go Bulldogs first.
They see it. I went to an event this summer, a TSU alumni event in Atlanta, and I know the AD at Tennessee State really well, Mickey Allen. Me and him, actually, we played against each other in high school, and we played against each other in college. And we played in the Tennessee-Kentucky All-Star game together. So I've been knowing him since we were 15, 16 years old. And he introduced me to the crowd as Alabama A&M's quarterback coach. So everybody was booming up. I'm Big Blue, but I'm coaching at Alabama A&M. So I just want to let them know that we're coming. You know, and I'm ready. I'm throwing this in their face when we do win it too, though. But I'm looking forward to it. I got a couple of guys that were my teammates at Tennessee State. They're actually on the staff right now. Shannon Harris and Toriano Morgan. Those guys are co-offense coordinators. Shannon was my backup quarterback there at TSU, and Toriano is one of my receivers at TSU. So, and Eddie Woods is another guy from Memphis. He was a good friend of mine too. I know him really well. He's actually coaching. He was coaching high school football in Nashville, but he's on the staff as a tight ends coach now. So I know those guys personally. I know Coach Barlow a little bit too. Coach Earnfield was one of my coaches, who's the O-line coach there now. So I know those guys quite a bit, man. I'm looking forward to going up to Nashville and putting on the show.
Well, Coach Evans, it's been a great time with you, man. We appreciate you for coming on, and best of luck to you on Saturday and even the rest of the season moving forward.
So, yes, sir. Thank you for joining us. Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. Have a good night.
All right. Take care, Coach.
Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs.
All right. That's Coach Evans. All right. Now, go ahead, T. Take yourself off mute.
Before we get into the next segment, real quick, got to do a real quick shout out so it doesn't get lost and I forget. I want to give a shout out to our former associate athletic director for external affairs, Mr. Ruben Perez. Mr. Ruben Perez, last game was Saturday when we played at home. He is now going to go be the SAIC, one of the associate athletic directors, commissioners, whatever it's called. I'm sorry, Ruben. But he's going to be working for the SIAC conference as the associate commissioner for championships. Ruben Perez, Ruben was very instrumental in how things operate during game time, from the operations, when the fireworks play, when the DJ plays, orchestrating the timeouts, people being presented on the field, and that's football and basketball. So best of luck to you. Mr. Perez, we never had him on. He was real camera shy. He didn't want to be on the show, but Ruben did a lot for Alabama A&M. Best of luck to him, the SAIC band. So I just wanted to put that out there before we move on.
Congratulations, Ruben.
We are so proud of you. Congratulations. You are going to do awesome.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. And appreciate that. Appreciate all your work, Ruben. So, all right. So we're going to move to our final segment of the night, and everybody, you know how this works. It's football season. So we are up with our chillin' pick'em segment. These SWAC game picks are brought to you by Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard, located in Madison, Alabama. Whether you're craving something cool and refreshing or smooth and creamy, Rita's has you covered. Stop by today and taste the flavors that make every game day sweeter. Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard, located at 8042 U.S. Highway 72 West in Madison. All right. This week, just like a little bit of last week, be some payments. Gonna be some paychecks been handed out to some folks. So y'all know. Y'all know what to do, though, in the comments. You know, y'all go ahead and, you know, put your picks in. And we just going to make sure that we get it done right, all right? So, game number one. We start there
Dark Vegas.
Who they about to meet, Wayne? Who they about to meet?
Yeah, they're going down there to Stark Vegas. They get ready to meet. So they met Mr. Owen 2 last week. They're going to meet his twin brother, Owen 3, this week.
And he is.
I hear them cowbells ringing right now.
Me too. I hear them loud and proud. Stark Vegas, early, often, and even after the game is over, still scoring.
My Lord. All right.
Oh, this one, late at night out there in Fresno. Now, if y'all didn't see today, Southern made a change at their offensive coordinator position. Well, they made an addition to it, but really it's a change.
It's a change.
Right. So Coach Fred McNair is now going to be calling the plays. And the good thing for these guys are they get this game, which is $550,000. The game that Alcorn's getting paid, they're getting paid $475,000. But $550,000 to take a nice, smooth beating. And then they have a bye week before they play the SWAC opener against Jackson State. So this is a developmental effort for them against Fresno. Get all the kinks out. Try your plays, whatever. Fresno by a ton out there in that valley. All right. Man.
Where is Rice located?
It's in Houston.
Okay. Yeah, ain't a far ride.
Listen, the most raggediest stadium I've ever sat in. And
is Rice?
No joke. Yes.
Oh, it's wow. Old, bro. It's so
it
old.
Is raggedy. I feel like I need a tetanus shot.
Yeah, it's old. They actually had a Super Bowl in there back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how old it is. But yeah. Coach Tremaine Jackson, if y'all didn't see him on that SWAC coach's call, that brother was angry. But the thing I appreciate about him, though, he was very accountable. He said, it all starts with me. This is another week for y'all to collect the paycheck and get yourselves right because SWAC play's coming. All right?
And I will say this, though. I actually attended wherever you played Rice a few years ago, and I actually attended that game, and they actually matched up really well. Actually pushed them to the end. I think it may have been like a one-position game at the end. So those days are long gone. But I expect Prairie View to have a nice showing, and their fan base really showed out. And it was a very fun game. So
yeah, Rice isn't any good, but they'll win this game. All right. I got to say this one for the first of four times on this show. Lincoln, California, because they're going to play four SWAC opponents this year. Pine Bluff, that's 0-2 there. Sorry, yeah. That's 0-2. But it'll be 1-2 because Pine Bluff, for the struggles they've had, they're going to beat the sleeves off these boys.
Right. I don't know how Lincoln is. Like, maybe I don't know how Lincoln is being able to travel all through the southeastern part of the United States. And they've been doing this for like 3 years now, but hey, to each his own.
yeah. So, they're going to play here this week. They've also got Alcorn for Alcorn's homecoming. They're playing Valley for Valley's homecoming. And they're also playing, Prairie View for their homecoming. So yeah, first of four SWAC whoopings and also four SWAC checks coming to Lincoln.
AT, you make it sound
they
like
they doing the
books.
Run me my money tour.
You okay. Make it sound like them books ain't gonna be looking right, aren't they?
Man.
Some mismanagement, ain't
right. At this point, AD Brian, line them up next year for homecoming. Might as well.
No, man, no. You ain't hear that. You ain't hear him say that. Look, he said Lincoln is just a pushover. You right? Said they getting under the table money. They getting that write off.
Right.
All right. Speaking of another payment, Grambling, they just collected $1 million. Now they're gonna pay Kentucky State a little something to come to the hole. Kentucky State, they got a win, but that win was in Detroit over a very bad Central State squad. So These boys, they'll get on the board this week. Gremlin didn't score last week, but they will this week a lot.
Yeah, they're gonna light up the scoreboard.
Y'all think Gremlin gonna win like that though?
Gremlin gonna kill this team, yeah, man. Yeah. Kentucky State is not good at all.
Yeah.
Reese Dog, I'm fully asleep. there ain't an alarm clock that can wake me up, bro. What I'm talking about. They ain't any good
on melatonin. That's how sleepy he is.
Exactly. Don't try and do all that, Reese Dog. They gonna kill this team. All right. Shout out to Valley. Shout out to Valley.
Yeah, shout my out. Lord.
Going my down Lord. There to Strawberry Stadium in Hammond, Louisiana, where them Lions, they're pretty good. They're pretty good in that Southland.
It's not a far trip, isn't it? Like 2 hours, maybe?
About a couple hours, yeah. That's the good news. The bad news is you got spanked by one Southland team last week. You're going to get spanked by another one this week. You know, but hey, shout out to Valley.
Shout out to Valley, man.
Yeah.
Ah, man. A couple years ago, this was a really good one. Miles went down there and stunned these boys. But 2 years was a long time ago.
Long time.
Y'all gonna make me go against my religion. You know I hate to do it. Alabama State, man.
it's gonna be the Alabama the Andrew Biden show in Montgomery.
It's a money guy.
It's gonna be the supporting cast show. Listen,
body finna run all over them boys. Every
single player on Alabama State roster. Make sure your mama come to the game because she's going to get to see you play this week.
And bring your church members.
How can things change in 1 year, I tell you?
I know.
Exactly. This was a game last year. I mean, well, it was 24-3 last year. Alabama State won. But the previous year, Miles got them. But, that was a long time ago.
Not too much on Miles. That's my mama's school. Not too much on
them. Yeah, well, shout out to Chris Good. Shout out to Chris Good. Don't spend that check all in one place because y'all getting the money to come down the road. Oh, boy, now.
Ooh.
Tuskegee, I'm going to say this, though, about this game. Tuskegee better be thankful that this wasn't last year because last year, man, Jackson State might have put 80 on them. Tuskegee is actually a better team this year. So instead of getting beat by 80, it might be by like 30, 35 points this time.
Yeah, they were on HBCU Go this weekend. I watched the replay. They played against Central State, and their quarterback's pretty good, man. You know, and shout out to Tuskegee also. It was their first night game ever, and they got the new light set up. It was they had like 15,000 people in there as well. I don't think they'll win this game, but I do know they have a they have a good quarterback, and, you know, shout out to them for being able to, you know, practice early in the morning now because they got lights. And also, I mean, it's the truth. It kind of, them getting lights is just more than the entertainment value. Now they could line this practice up so where everybody could, they could do it in the morning before class versus then trying to schedule around everything else. So it helped them in more ways than one.
Yeah. Their quarterback, Raekwon Beal, pretty good player.
Right.
You know, they shut out Central State last week, so they're going to go down there. This is the W.C. Gordon Classic down there in the Vet. And Jackson State coming off a loss, they're pretty pissed off and they're pretty fired up to get their offense going. So they'll have a chance to do that before they have a bye week next week. So, And then this one right here. This is a former MEAC game. Y'all know I had Kobe Orr on with me Sunday night. He's a South Carolina State grad. He told me, he said, we getting ready to put a whooping on these boys.
Listen,
I believe him. I believe him.
I do too.
Listen, South Carolina State, if you ain't seen their defense is real.
Listen, they gave the University of South Carolina fits last week. So, Bethune, if y'all start praying now, just start praying.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something though. But South Carolina State, I think, gonna win this game, and I think they'll probably win the handle. But again, they still gonna have the same mindset and not be too overconfident because Bethune has played two tough teams, and normally this game normally is tight early on. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised to see it close to a half to, and then, you know, then they might have to just get on them or whatever. But
I wouldn't think they're going to pull away.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised South Carolina State pull away, but Bethune is going to come in and play them tough at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Bethune, they try hard. It's real brutal, this schedule. As y'all know, they played FIU and then they played the U in both of their losses. So, and then after this game, next week they play Edward Waters. We'll talk about that one. I'll be curious to hear what everybody got to say when we get to that next week, but that's going down Orangeburg. Okay, now, Lamar, this game last year, they played each other in Beaumont. Beaumont, Texas is where Lamar is. They beat Texas Southern 20-17, right? Lamar, though, last week just upset the number four team in FCS, South Dakota. So they're coming in off that. Texas Southern last week played really, really good against Cal. Like, it was 35-3, but it was 11-0 at halftime. And they created a whole lot of struggles for Lamar. But ultimately, I believe it's Lamar in this one, y'all. Unless y'all think otherwise.
Oh, I'm in agreement with you on that one.
All right.
I think it's Lamar. Texas Southern, they should be 1-1. They let one slip away against Prairie View. But, hey, that's how it goes.
Yep. That's it. All right, now we got something. Albany State with
Look like Wayne is frozen.
Yes.
Wayne, if you can hear us, you're frozen a little bit. Gotcha. There you go. Yeah, you're back. There you go.
All right. Albany State. Uh-huh. Coached by Quinn Gray, who is a FAMU alum. And their quarterback. Pretty good. He threw for six touchdowns. Yeah, he threw for six touchdowns last week and ran for two others. He's pretty good. All right. FAMU, we know that their offense has been a struggle. They've scored a whopping 23 points in two games.
Who's the head coach at FAMU now? I forgot.
That's Coach Colsey.
Yeah,
and ironically,
the one that y'all used to call Big Werner.
That's
Dawson Odom. That's
Odom. I don't know these coaches.
That's so messy. Oh my god!
It's Odom and it's Colsey. I got it. I really thought it was the same person. My bad. No disrespect to the coach, his family or family. My apologies.
Yeah. So, and what's real hilarious is, Coach Colsey, his parents are Albany State alums.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the quarterback Isaiah Knowles, that's his name for Albany State. Crazy good, crazy good, crazy good. All right, home opener in Tallahassee. So let's go through it. We can pick this one now.
Yeah, we can
Dave,
pick
it. Who you got?
Because it's a home game, I'm going to go with FAM. I think Brad going to come out and cheer their boys on and hopefully that they get the win. Yeah, I'm going to go with FAM. Yeah.
All right. Corey?
Woo. Hey, this is going to be a close game. I really do think it's going to be a close game. I think it's a job interview for Albany State's coach, because if he pull it out, he's going to be the front runner for the Florida A&M job. And if Florida A&M lose, hey, like I said, this is going to be a close game because – but I, at the end of the day, I think Florida A&M will win a close one by a touchdown. But I wouldn't be surprised here to go the other way because, but Florida A&M by 7.
Jay?
Albany State is really confident coming into this game. Honestly, my pick would be different if it was a neutral site game. But I think the difference is that it is in Bragg and it is at night. So I think that is going to be different. I got FAMU, but it's going to be a slugfest.
Okay. T?
I'm going to go with what Rich Dog said, man. I want to go with Albany State in a close one, up by 3. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty tight all the way down to the wire in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think Albany State by 3.
Hey, look, they said Albany State and Colsey be walking home.
Yeah, bro, I was just about to say, if FAMU lose this game, Colsey going to be a full-time umpire for softball.
Listen, full time.
Full well, time. If they lose this game.
they better score some points, because if they don't, because Albany gonna score some points, so they better they offense better start scoring. If they offense is struggling and not scoring, Albany will win.
Yeah, they played 2 years ago last time in down there in Tallahassee. FAMU only won 23-13. You remember how good that FAMU team was 2 years ago?
So. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. All right. Now that brings us to our game. Of course, all of us know who we're picking. But as we say, starting with T, keys to a Bulldog victory.
Man, the same keys I brought to the game last week, I'm going to bring those same keys again. I think my key to the ignition worked. The key is going to be fan and crowd support participation. There is no reason why we shouldn't be able to go right up the road to have that same crowd and participation like we had at Lewis Cruz. It's such a short drive. And these new students got nice cars these days, so they can drive up there. You know, they can get up there. They can get up there real quick. So I think that the key is to be fan support. I'm confident until I see otherwise that Coach Shade and his staff will have them prepared to play a game. I've seen it against Arkansas. I've seen that against who do we just beat? Alcorn. So I'm confident that they're going to be prepared to play from a football standpoint. I want us fans to be ready to do what we did at home. I think that's going to be a turning point. I just don't think Tennessee State fans are going to be excited like us. And then we just gotta hit them in the jugular real early and then get them out of there.
Yeah. Jen?
I think I echo everything T said, and I also want to add that I think a key to this victory is going through our defense. I would love to see our defense get more significant stops with the run. So I think that's going to be a huge key, and that'll kind of get us ready for I know we have Lane next, but then kind of get us ready for SWAC play as well. So I just want to see defense kind of stopping the run and those big plays.
Yeah. Corey?
Hey, both of these teams have excellent coaching staffs, probably two of the best staffs that we will see. So both teams going to be well prepared. But I think the key is for Alabama A&M is stopping the run. Stopping the run, Kendrick Rimes being sure stopping the run, as well as good special teams and cutting down on penalties, because Tennessee State has good special teams as well. So it's going to be key that we cut down on the penalties and also turnovers, because both teams are going to be prepared as far as coaching. So it's going to come down to the execution and the players just doing their job. And if we do our job, we should win by at least two touchdowns.
Dave.
Yep, I agree with everything that everybody said, especially regarding the penalties, because I can't remember which quarter it was, but we had two back-to-back 15-yard penalties. And from that, Alcorn scored off of those penalties. So we definitely have to be more disciplined. It was something that on the SWAT coaches call today, Coach Shea did speak to those penalties. Shout out to you, Wayne, for throwing that question to him. He did speak about that as well and how they're going to work to try to minimize those penalties, making the players more aware of what these penalties look like and how you can avoid them. So definitely if we can minimize the penalties and definitely stopping the run, I think we can come out victorious in this game.
Yeah. So for me, Tennessee State last week, as many teams do, they get dominated by North Dakota State. North Dakota State, let's just keep it real, that's a group of five team playing FCS football. I believe that team would go to a bowl game in the FBS level if they were FBS team. Like, for real. I think they would be like 8-4, 7-5 as an FBS team. So they pushed them around. They only held them to, they held them to four total first downs the entire game. They only threw for 41 yards. Now, their quarterback position is pretty shaky. At least it has been for the first couple games here, even in the one that they won against North Carolina A&T. The key, like Corey said, Kendrick Rimes still has the goods. He had 174 on the ground and two touchdowns against North Carolina A&T. That's the guy. And we've actually owed him because we weren't really able to do a whole lot against him when we played him when he was at Southern. So that's going to be important. We already talked about the penalties and being disciplined. But also what's important here is, too, let's feed off the crowd. Because I do believe that even though Tennessee State, they've been known for not having really good attendance there in Nissan Stadium, a lot of that has been due to their fans have been protesting the teams that they play in their conference, which is the Big South OVC. But they do show up when they play HBCU teams, and we're an HBCU team. So I think there's going to be a lot on the line, a lot of pride on the line, a lot of people involved to want to be involved with this game. And we manage the emotions of the moment and just do what we do, and I think we'll be just fine in this matter. So really want to get that 2-1, man, because with Lane coming next week, that's another one we should win. And I'm just like, I want to be 3-1 heading into SWAC play.
But, exactly. Yeah.
We got to get this one done, man, because this is another one of those type of moments, just like last week. And I'll be very honest and frank. I'm not 100% positive, no shade, no pun intended, no shade to the past staff and regime. I'm not sure that we win that game last week in past years. I think this team is built different. I think the mentality is different, and I think that there's a level of excitement and passion that we haven't seen, because when they were up against the ropes last week, I'm not going to lie, I was sitting there on the couch saying to myself, now this is in past couple of years where we've seen a team come and drive the length of the field and break our hearts, and then we come on here talking about how disappointed we are. But that was a different team that we saw on Saturday night. And I hope that thing that we saw Saturday night, carry that thing forward, man. And it could be some real special things here in year one. Yeah. All right.
And Wayne, let me say one other thing, because you did say, you know, I do agree that this team is built different. I'm going to just tell you one of the things that I have saw as far as the physicality. You know, it was like a heavyweight fight. Both teams was hitting hard. We ain't hit that hard in a long time. And, you know, and we might have gave up 31 points, but I guarantee you that we are built differently. DBs are hitting. We're tackling. So it was a heavyweight battle. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm going to say this on record. People may be laughing at Alcorn State right now, but I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the year they are representing the West. Because that's a hard team to stop offensively for what they got of those two running backs. The key for them is going to be same thing, penalties and turnovers. But that's a good team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they represent the West at the end of the year.
Yes, sir. Very well said, man. That is a good football team that we beat. We score 41. So, yeah. Let's get it done this week.
That's a team that we haven't, and I don't want to take anything from Alcorn. That was a team we haven't beaten in 12 years. Yep. So Saturday was amazing. It was amazing. And we already do it again this week. Yep.
Yeah, so excited. So Corey, I know you going up there, right?
Yes, I'll be down there. Hey, in that number supporting my Bulldogs. Hopefully we can take over their stadium. Hopefully we have more fans than they do.
I'm telling you, A&M better get those buses, those energy buses, and fill them up and take a whole bunch of kids from that campus down to that game.
Yeah, yeah. So, T, you going to be there?
Absolutely. I'll be there loud, proud, and ignorant.
I know, Jen, you coming up, right?
This weekend is actually my dad's 50th high school reunion, so I will be taking him to all of those events They definitely scheduled this week, but I will be there in spirit because I don't know if y'all know, I have two aunts and an uncle that are graduates of Tennessee State. And so I can't wait to go to the family group chat after Saturday and talk my stuff.
Well, I've got my cross country meet is local on Saturday. So I will be sitting right there front and center, ESPN Plus, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 in the Central, right there on my couch, ready to see a Bulldog victory. So
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, man. So tonight, like to say special shout out to Alyssa Jones for joining us, Nashville alumni chapter president, with all of the things that she has going on for Saturday with the events. Also, shout out to Coach Kenton Jones, our Kenton Evans. I was thinking Jones, Evans, mm-hmm. Kenton Evans, our quarterback coach. Also, just like he said, like CJ said, y'all hit that like button. All right.
Yeah,
everybody,
man,
hit that like button. Next week, we will be back with another great show for everybody. Same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. Go ahead, Dave. You got something?
Yeah. Volleyball won their game. Shout out to volleyball.
2-1.
Yeah. Awesome. 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 Yeah. It said it was my pleasure to represent Metro Nashville chapter. Go Bulldogs, BTSU. Couldn't have said it any better myself. Couldn't have said it any better myself. So, Corey C.K. Williams, Just Dave, Jay the Great, T. Gooden. I'm Wild Wayne Cartwright. We love y'all. We'll see y'all next time. Good night.
Peace.